John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus says to the disciples, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to my Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he's come so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." Last time I was with you, we were celebrating Easter. Resurrection Sunday. And rejoicing in our risen Saviour. We're in this period now, after Easter, where the sort of next big date's Ascension. And following Ascension, we get to Pentecost. So on the 5th of June, forgive me for saying it like this, but I won't be celebrating the Queen's Jubilee. I'll be celebrating Pentecost. I will be celebrating the fact that the Holy Spirit came in power. But before we get there, I just want to spend some time considering some biblical statements about who the Spirit is. Because I think we might fall into danger of defining the Spirit by our experiences with him. It's the most active of the Godheads in our lives. And we experience him in various ways, and people have different histories of things that God did and the way the Spirit showed up. And I wonder how much of it and our understanding of who he is based out of the Word of God, as opposed to what we've seen happen and experienced. There's a statement in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." But if I asked you to finish that statement for yourself, what would you say? The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is goosebumps. Because how we answer that gives some indication of how we see him. And there's this thing that struck me in the past little while, that there are a lot of people who seem spiritual. There's a lot of ministries that seem incredibly spiritual. And actually, I don't think they live up to who the book says he is. So Jesus, having washed the disciples' feet, sitting in the upper room with them, talks to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he says the Spirit of truth is coming. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. It's a statement he repeats in John 15 and verse 26 in the following chapter. When the Advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. John 16 and 12, the next chapter again. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the way he chooses to name the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Not the Spirit of power. Not the Spirit of lots of gifts. He doesn't say, guys, wait till you see the gifts he's got for you. He says the Spirit of truth will come. And the Holy Spirit's not a new idea. He was there at the beginning, hovering over the waters. And he's been there throughout the Old Testament. Various people have been filled with the Spirit. The Spirit has come upon them to speak. They've been anointed by the Spirit. But in this moment, Jesus defines the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. I think that's worth thinking about for a moment. The Spirit of truth. Truth is the nature of God. 1 John 5 and verse 20 says, we know also that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Hebrews 6:18 tells me it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Just a few verses before what we read in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus' declaration is, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's the nature of who God is. And Colossians 1 tells me the Son is the image of the invisible God. So if Jesus is the truth and he's the image of the invisible God, so is he. And I wonder then, if I'm to keep in step with the Spirit, if I'm to walk by the Spirit, what role does truth have in my life? What role does truth have in my life? He is truth. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And in a society where everybody has their own truth, that's something that should set us apart. That I walk with the Spirit of truth, that I hold to a truth, not my truth. And I wonder, and I'm very much convinced, sorry, let me not play that down. If actually we're very keen to silence the voice of truth in our lives sometimes because it doesn't fit our own narrative. If we're quite keen to say, hey, actually, that doesn't suit me, so I'm not going to hold to that. I'll shut that voice up in my head. I'll silence the voice that's saying something to me about who I am or what I've done because it doesn't feel too good. See, Jesus says, John 14:26, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. I've said this thing here before. I'll say it again, I'm sure. I have tried to learn this lesson. Any behavior I have to justify to myself is probably sin. And the reason I say that is because the Spirit of truth is in me. And when the Spirit of truth is in me, and I do something that falls outside of who I'm called to be, I expect him to call me to a better standard. I expect him to speak to me and say something about who I'm meant to be in Christ. I expect him to convict me of my sin. And actually what happens very often is I end up telling myself why what I did was okay. Why it was fine. I've got an explanation and a justification to explain why the cross words that I had, the anger that I displayed, the things that I got wrong were all totally appropriate and justified. And what I'm doing actually is silencing the voice of the Spirit of truth in my life. I am persuaded that most Christians interpret a whole lot of conviction as condemnation and so try to shut the voice out of their heads. They're not listening. And we wonder why the Spirit is absent sometimes from our lives and why we don't see the power that we'd hope for. But you've shut his voice up because you don't want to hear what he has to say about your life. But you want his gifts and his miracles. You want him to perform according to your definition of who he is. I want to say to you, he's the Spirit of truth. And my expectation is that his truth, as it speaks to my life and my heart, is sometimes confrontational. Actually, sometimes it challenges me about who I am. As he teaches me, I expect him to say some things that go, hey, that's wrong. Because if I'm getting it all right, I don't need taught. If I'm nailing this, I don't need taught. And he takes time sometimes to remind me of what Jesus said. And it's not the devil beating you up. It's the truth of the Word of God. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up. That's not an accuser. That's the truth of the Word of God. It's instructions for my life. And we live at a point in history where we have a pick and mix of truth. You can believe whatever you want about whatever you want. And be adamant that you're right. In spite of any facts, evidence, demonstration of anything else, I pick my truth. I choose what I believe. People share their truths. And we're never meant to be a people that reflect that culture. I believe it is possible for us to disagree about the Word of God. I believe you can have different interpretations about some things. I believe you can see some things differently. I also believe there's some things you can't disagree about. But on my journey with the Spirit of God, I want Him to teach me. I want Him to speak to me. I want Him to lead me in all truth, as John 16 says. In order for Him to do that, I actually have to start listening. I have to be willing to hear His voice. I have to be willing to take a moment when I'm doing the thing I know I shouldn't be doing. And I feel, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but I'm getting it off my chest, and so, hey. There's times in my life where I actually am aware at the time that I'm not doing the right thing, and I proceed anyway. I tell you, Pat, it's bad. There are times I find myself aware fully. I know the thing I ought to do. And I know the thing I shouldn't do. But I proceed anyway. If you hear His voice today, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. See, my prayer for us as a congregation, as a church, is that the Holy Spirit would come and move among us in power. That we would see Him move in a powerful and tangible way. That it would impact and transform the community around us. But I want that to be sustained in our lives. I don't want that to be a flutter for a moment. And actually, there's some things I have to accept about who He is in order to walk with Him, in order to stay in step with Him. See, if I walk by the Spirit, I'm not meant to gratify the desires of my flesh. And that means I heed the truth. When He speaks, I'm not saying, yeah, but you don't know what they did. And everybody else fights anyway. And honestly, road rage, it's not a big deal. But we don't like it, do we? Me. I took Jane to work on Saturday morning. Driving in the car. And a bus nearly ran me off the road. I was not a happy chap. I was angry. Took a photo of his license plate. I wanted to show him. And Jane's very gracious. She's wonderful. She was like, Josh, what are you doing? I did not appreciate that question either. I was not grateful for someone to highlight my wrongdoing in the midst of my wrongdoing. That did not enrich my life in that moment. I wanted to be angry, to tell myself why it was okay to be angry, and I took time to explain to Jane why this professional driver who was driving a whole pile of passengers could have caused a serious collision, and my anger was completely justified. Except it wasn't. Except I knew it was wrong. But isn't that what I do all the time with myself? Isn't it how I spend my life? When something calls greater out of me, when something says, no, you shouldn't do it. When something's saying, stop, you know this isn't right. Yeah, but I can explain why I can. And in my longing for the Spirit of God to move amongst us, I can't have it both ways. If I want to hear his voice, when I'm wandering down the street and speaking to people's lives in moments, if I want words of knowledge for random strangers, if I want to hear him speak to me in various settings to say, go, pray, do, act, move, I have to actually be willing to accept he's going to speak to other things too. Because he's the Spirit of truth. And his commitment is to teach you. And to remind you of what Jesus said. Spirit-filled Christians who are keeping in step with the Spirit to have no regard for truth whatsoever. To have a truth that suits them at certain times. Because it's not a reflection of the Spirit that's apparently living within them. I expect as I walk with the Spirit, I reflect who he is. As my mind is controlled by the Spirit, my life is a reflection of who he is. And as a result, if he's the Spirit of truth, I expect to be a person who values truth massively, where honesty plays a key role. I'm fascinated by the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Because really honestly, I don't think what they did was that bad. I mean, they gave quite a lot to the church, didn't they? And they just made it out like it was more than what it really was. But they were still generous. They just kept a little bit for themselves. And I think that's a bit harsh. A pair of them die. And maybe it's a reflection of the fact that I live in a society where everybody just lies about everything. And I'd rather make space for humanity than live called to holiness. That I'd rather justify myself by the world's standards than hear what the Spirit has to say to me in certain times. Because I can explain myself by what everybody else is doing. I can tell you why what I did was normal. And expecting something different from me sometimes seems quite harsh, doesn't it? It seems unfair almost. But I want the fullness of what the Spirit has for me. I want to live in the fullness of all of what God has for me. And Jesus, sitting with his disciples, tells him he's sending one, an advocate. But who's the advocate? It's the Spirit of truth. Truth's not meant to be a hindrance in your life. It's meant to help you. It's not meant to be something you oppose. It's meant to be something you walk in. You know the truth, and the truth sets you free. It's meant to be liberating. And I'd rather debate it. And so I wanted to take some time to ask you to think about it. I know it's the heart of some of you for the Holy Spirit to show up and move, for God to come and do something in our midst, for it to be transformative beyond just ourselves, for our meetings to be dynamic and electric, for there to be a tangible sense of him among us. I want that more than any of you. But I want it in sincerity. I don't want us to have a reputation that's not a reflection of who we are. I would love us to see God move in power. But I want the Spirit of truth to dwell in us. For us to heed his voice when he speaks. For us to keep in step with him when he's saying something. For us not to shut up his voice because it doesn't suit us at the time. For us not to try and contend with him when he's speaking into our hearts and lives. For us not to explain why he's wrong or explain why we can do what we're doing. But to say, sorry, God. Help me. I want to do what you've called me to do. Not, yeah, but Billy down the road does it. And if Billy down the road does it, then it must be fine. I wonder if sometimes we're too clever for our own good. Because we know what everybody else is doing and what everybody else thinks and how everybody else behaves, and that better than the call of God on your life? Is that better than the call of God on your life? Is it better to be like everybody else? Or to walk faithfully with the Spirit of truth? And gifts matter, but you can be gifted and not walk with the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, didn't we prophesy in your name? in your name cast out demons and in your name do many miracles. And most of us would settle for that right now, wouldn't we? Let's be honest, like, if this morning prophecy, miracles and demons started flying about, like, if we were seeing deliverance from attack, like, I'd feel like we'd had a great meeting. Oh, the Spirit of God's moving amongst us. But Jesus says, I never knew you. I don't want to play games on earth. To conjure something up. I want to walk with the Spirit of God. Live my life according to what he's called me to. And live in the truth. And I'm urging you, as we pursue that, I am convinced it will make a difference to our fellowship. I am persuaded it will transform your life. God is not slow to speak. Most of the time, we're just very keen to tell him no. And then we wonder why we can't hear his voice at other times in our lives. So I'm done. I hope I said something. But think about it. Please think about it. It's more than just a party trick. The Holy Spirit wasn't meant to just be entertainment for us weirdo Pentecostals. It's actually walking with you day by day, teaching you, reminding you, leading you in truth. And I know most of you have experienced his voice speaking, putting his finger on some things. And I know I've crushed it sometimes to sit in my pity party and tell the rest of the world why it's awful. But apparently it's for my good. It's the advocate, the helper, the paraclete. So maybe I need to stop fighting him. Should we stand together and worship?